Lord, in the story that I'm about to share, may those who are gathered here hear my story. May they hear your story with us in Scripture. And may it be their story as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I raised hogs at one point in my life, and with the size of the operation that we had, it was difficult to find a good place, you know, where you could have all of them with, as some of you know, the messiness that goes with having hogs, and what shall I say, the sometimes unpleasantness that comes with raising hogs near a community. But at one point, I had found the perfect place. It was a seaside location, if you can believe that or not, with beautiful rolling hills that went right along the seaside, and I never once, when we were there, complained about doing the chores because, man, view like that, you know. I'm sure you're wondering at this point what kind of lakeshore property would welcome a large hog operation to come set up in the community. But a hog lot near the shore was by far not the strangest thing in this community. Not long after I had acquired the property and we got the hogs moved in, right around 2,000 head of them, I learned of the town's not-so-secret. I was laying there in the dead of the night, and I hear this kind of howling sound. And I'd had coyotes in other situations that I'd been in before, not really worried about them with hogs, but I thought, I better go check on them. So I go out, and hogs are fine. But then I hear this sound again, and if I was hearing it right, it sounded like it was coming just from the next section over where there was a graveyard. And you know I like my ghost stories, but I wasn't real keen on going to a graveyard on my own in the dead of the night. And so I thought, well, I'll go tomorrow morning and check it out. And so next morning, just after I finish up the hog chores, I go over to the graveyard and I start going up the path that leads into it. And wow, what a beautiful place to have a cemetery. I mean, it probably seems strange, right? But right next to that breathtaking view of the sea. But it looked like this place had not been used in a very long time. All the tombstones there were kind of worn. You could barely read the inscription on most of them, and so I kind of started to clear away the overgrowth around one of the tombs to get a better look at the name on it. And I kind of hear this animal growl sound coming from nearby. At least I thought it was an animal at first. And so behind one of the nearby tombstones, I go over there to see what's going on. And, you know, I've been to a few parties and these things that happen in the middle of the night in the cemetery that you're sometimes challenged by friends. And I thought maybe this is one of those parties gone wrong and here's somebody here still in the morning. But sure enough, I see this guy there rising up and he's got chains on him. And I'm thinking, this is a party that has gone very wrong. He is filthy. He has no clothes on. He's got very long hair. He's got a full beard, and he's kind of got this wild look in his eye. And he starts to come after me. And I don't know what was going on with him, but I could tell he wasn't the conversational sort. So I turn around, and I hightailed as quick as I could until I kind of hear this clank behind me. And I see he's come to the end of these chains he's got on him. Like I said, he's chained up. He's shackled there. Little scrawny guy, pulling as hard as he can at the end of what looked like log chains on him, completely covered in filth. And like I said, I've been raising hogs for a long time, but I got used to that smell. I could still smell this guy from 10 yards away. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? A lone man chained and shackled in a graveyard, and it doesn't look like anybody is looking after him. I've seen animals treated better than this guy, including my hogs. Now, I told you that I having a hog lot along the seashore wasn't the strangest thing about this town. But before I had much more time to think about what was going on here, I see this little scrawny guy, but those chains are starting to stretch. And they snap, and he's loose, and he's running after me, and I'm running too at this point. I'm looking over my shoulder, and I keep running fast as I can to get into town because I figure safety in numbers, right? And I get to town, and thankfully he hasn't followed along. I'm thinking, who is even going to believe this story? And so I find the local bar, and I wander in there, and finally get my nerves calmed down, and try to tell somebody else about what's happened to me. But here's where the story gets stranger yet. I've told a few people about what's gone on now, And not a one of them is surprised at what I have to tell them. They know exactly who I'm talking about. Some of them were in fact complaining that, yeah, he is inevitably going to make it into town here and we'll have to get a crew back together again and take him and put him back out there. But beyond that, not a one person was surprised in the slightest. In fact, they said, you know, we wish we could do something about this guy, but they knew this sort of person just can't be helped. And so in their mind, the best way to deal with him was to keep him locked up and out of sight and out of mind until the next time they might have to see him again. You know, even if he hurts himself, maybe we can at least keep him from hurting other people. And I went one day shocked at the community that I had moved into. I mean, one, by the experience that I had at the graveyard, now much closer to my home than I was ever going to be comfortable with, but two, by how a whole community could be at ease with this man's disease, to let it just keep going on. And, you know, I want to say that I was different, that I made a difference in that community and did something about it. But I didn't know how either, so in time, I got used to it too, and even helped put him back in his place. I mean, we wouldn't kill him, but what we were doing to him was just as much, locking him up with the dead, pretending like he was dead to us until we couldn't ignore him anymore. That all changed one day, though, when a stranger came to town by way of the sea. And I remember watching him coming in by shore. I was doing the chores out there that morning. And over in the cemetery, I hear this snap. And yeah, you know who is on the loose, and it's affirmed as a couple minutes later, this naked man comes streaking like lightning across my front lawn, chains flailing behind him, and I know he's headed down to the shore, and I drop what I'm doing because I figure I better get down there before this stranger gets the wrong idea about what's going on here, even though it would probably be the right idea about what's going on here. And I caught up just in time for what I thought was going to be an epic tackle by our guy, if we can call him that. But then he lands right at the feet of this stranger, and the stranger says to him, "Get out." And shouting at the top of his lungs, the man from the grave says, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Now that's the first time I ever heard anything coherent come out of this guy's mouth. Yet somehow he seemed to know the name of this stranger, knew him by name, and he's begging him not to torture him. And I'm thinking, does this Jesus guy have something to do with why this guy has been locked up, why this has happened to him? Had he tortured him at one point in the past? But then it seemed that Jesus didn't know who he was because he asked him, "What's your name?" And the man answers, "My name is Legion, for we are many. Please don't send us away from here. There are some hogs nearby. Let us go into them." And I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, what is going on? We? Us? I only see one guy here. And the only hogs around here that I see are mine. What is this conversation about? I liked him a whole lot better when he was just some growling guy that we kept locked up in the graveyard. But not a minute later, I look up onto the hill at the farm and watched as my whole herd of swine, all 2,000 plus of them, together pushing against the fence and busting out. And you remember that beautiful seashore view with the nice hilltop cliff looking down on it? Yep, every last one of them. Over the cliff, into the sea below, and later on I find out every last one of them drowned. Years of effort of growing and maintaining a herd, gone in a moment. Now, I didn't know what to make of what was going on at that point, so I went into town quick as I could, telling everybody, "You're not going to believe this," and I know, remember, right, they weren't surprised. "Really, you're not going to believe this. Get out here. You've got to see this." And we come to see Jesus, and the crazy man sitting there dressed and in his right mind, making sense for the first time ever. And I think some of us were afraid because the man we had treated so poorly for those years could finally talk about the way that we treated him. I think others couldn't get over the fact that they were seeing him as a human for the first time, as one of us, and thinking to ourselves, if this could happen to him, could it happen to us? And who would save us if we got ourselves in that situation? Most of all, I think everybody was afraid of Jesus. I mean, if he could bring about that kind of change in this man, what kind of power did he really have? And what would he do to us? Now, here's the kind of ironic part. I mean, not unlike the crazy man right before he had been healed, many of the people of the town started to ask Jesus, leave us alone. And please, would you just leave here altogether? Everybody but the crazy man wanted Jesus to go. And at that point, you kind of had to ask yourself who the crazy ones in this story really were. Turns out this crazy guy had a name. We got to know him. His name was Mark. And that day, Mark begged Jesus to go with him. And I couldn't blame him. I mean, his whole experience living among us and the way that we treated him, who wouldn't want to leave us? But Jesus said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he's shown you. I never stopped to think that this guy had a home or friends or family, but apparently Jesus knew that he did. And Mark stayed in our community, and he told this same story to anyone and everyone who would hear it. You know, even those of us who had treated him poorly. And I guess in time it's become my story too, as here I am telling it again to you. And I think it was the hardest for those of us who had treated Mark so poorly to hear the story again. We were haunted by what we had done to him. But Mark would always tell us, you know, this story is more about mercy than it'll ever be about judgment. He said, this story is way more about what Jesus did than what any of you or I have ever done. And Mark would always end telling his story like this. He said, if Jesus could set me free of a whole legion of troubles, what trouble do you have that's ever going to stand any chance against him? Amen.